We're going to talk tonight about two stories of following Jesus. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about the God that we follow. Tomorrow night, the next time I'll be with you, we'll talk about being a Jesus follower. And then on Sunday morning, right before you leave, we'll talk about a lifetime of following Jesus. So this is where we're going. I'm just letting you know because I'm someone that likes to see how things connect. This is how it connects. Now, I want you to know that over all that, I have a desire for you this weekend. And I want you to listen to these verses. Hebrews 3:7 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." Here's an interesting thing. You know what Hebrews 3:15 says? "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." Hebrews 4:7 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." I pray that this weekend you hear his voice. I pray that when he talks to you, your heart will be soft. And I'd like to ask you this weekend, would you be listening for what he has to say to you? And would you do everything you can to keep your heart soft so that you can hear what he has to say to you? Now, I want you to know I am not going to tell you what he is telling you. The Holy Spirit can point out to you what he's saying to you. And if you're still unsure, ask some people that know you, some people you trust. Run it by them. "Do you think he could be saying this to me?" And let them speak into you. Say, "I think maybe." I think, "Oh, no, don't go there." He'll help you. But there is a God who speaks. He's spoken through his word, and he speaks today through his Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to you this weekend. I pray you'll hear his voice. I pray your hearts will be soft to hear him. And I'd like to pray now for all of us this weekend that we would indeed have soft hearts and that we really would hear what he has to say to us. Father, I pray for every one of us in this room, and I include myself in that with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, would you give us soft hearts towards you. And Father, I pray that if there are any rocky places, places where the truth of your word and your truth and your love can't come through, would you remove those rocks? Would you break them away? Would you melt them? Would you give us soft hearts? And Father, I say on behalf of all these wonderful young men and women, would you speak to them? And would you help them hear what you say to them? And I pray for many of them that this weekend really would be life-changing for them. Whether it's through these messages or a workshop or a quiet time or a walk with a friend or just praying with you, that you would have their complete attention and that for decades into the future they could look back and say, "Well, that was the weekend when God spoke to me and I heard his voice and I said yes." Would you do this for each of us, Father? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, two stories of following Jesus. And the first story is my story. How about that? Now, why am I talking about me? Partly so you can get to know me, but partly because in a lot of ways I'm just like you. So here's a bit of my story. My mom came from England and emigrated to the United States when she was 19. My dad grew up in Oregon, and they got married met in Philadelphia and got married, and I was their first baby. My dad joined the Air Force, and I was born in Oregon, move to Texas, move to California, move to Guam, move to Georgia, move to Illinois, move to Germany, move to Spain. And that's when I graduated from high school. I went to 8 different schools, and everywhere we went, we took my sisters. 3 younger sisters. And they're all wonderful, wonderful women. My mom has passed away. My dad now lives 15 houses away from us. We live in Colorado Springs. We've lived there 7 years, and we really like it. But you know what we've realized is that we have really liked every place we've lived. And we may stay there a long time, and we may not. And Nancy and I have recently been talking about how we are willing and wanting to go and do whatever the Lord wants us to go and wherever He wants us to be and whatever He wants us to do. My family grew up every once in a while. We'd go to church. Sometimes it was very regularly. Sometimes it wasn't so much. We had, I wouldn't say it was really a rule, but the way we operated in our family was God was something that you did on Sunday mornings. And then we really didn't talk about Him after that. And it was just the way that it was. Well, I remember the end of my junior year thinking that it was odd that I was actually glad to be going to a new high school. Now, I was having a great time at my high school. I had good friends. I was enjoying life. I was doing well. But I knew something was wrong. And I thought, well, maybe a move. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe that would make it better. Well, we moved to Spain. And that's when God really started to get a hold of my heart. In fact, let's see if I can get over to this spot. I remember one night, we'd probably lived there 2 weeks, and I took a walk in the dark out behind the hospital on this Air Force base. And there was this hospital, and the back of it had no windows and no lights. And maybe a mile away, there was this mesa that was blocking any other human-generated light from that side. And I walked into the field between the building and the mesa and laid down in the grass and looked up at the stars. And it was amazing to see all those stars. No human light around. I think I was right under the Milky Way. And I laid there looking at those stars. And I consciously started thinking, I wonder if this is all a mistake. I wonder if this is all by accident. Because to me it was beautiful. And it was huge. And it was amazing. And I pondered that. And I kind of asked myself, Mike, do you think that all of this is a mistake? Or do you think this is on purpose? It was a scary question for me. Because if it was all a mistake, one chance happening after another, that also meant that this matter that I was laying on at the time was also a mistake. And if this matter was a mistake, then maybe I was a mistake. Or a chance. And if all of this was just really a mistake, then nothing mattered. Because there's no purpose in anything. There was no meaning. It was all pointless. You just live and be sort of happy and then be sad and then die and that's it. But how depressing. And I actually said to myself, no, this is not a mistake. This is all on purpose. And I can remember being excited when I decided that this was on purpose. Because if all that was on purpose, then where I was on purpose. And I was on purpose. And I had purpose. And my life could count. That night, I decided that God existed. That there was a God. I remember actually saying, God, I believe that you are. I believe you are. You know, there's a verse. Whoops. Closer. Psalm 19, 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Do you know what happened to me that night? God was talking to me. He was talking to me through his creation. Creation was speaking, saying, God is, and you matter. It was amazing. I had a bounce in my step when I went back. I realized, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. It kind of stopped there, but it was very exciting. I made an intellectual decision as a high school senior that there was a God and that I mattered because he's a God of purpose. And I believed I had purpose. Well, another few weeks passed. In between there, I did some things of which I'm now ashamed. And I was feeling badly about me. I think really I became very much aware that I was a sinner, that I went against this God that I just decided I believed in. And I was pretty desperate. A number of things happened. I saw some people that looked like they knew God, which I thought, that's interesting. They act like they know God. That's it never crossed my mind. You could know God. But I noticed they were carrying Bibles. So I went back to my room, found a Bible, dusted it off, and started reading. Now, I'd actually started reading the Bible before. I always wanted to be one of those people who say, yes, I've read the Bible. And I would start, and this would be it. And then Bildad the Shuhite replied, It's about as far as I would get. I'm not proud of it. It's just the way it was. But that night, for some reason, I decided to start in the Gospel of Matthew. And I read, and it made sense. And I read this verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And it was like God was talking to me. Mike, you seek me. You seek the kingdom of God. You seek the righteousness of God, and I will take care of you. I will give you everything you need. So you know what I did? I got down on my knees, and I said, God, whatever it means to seek you and your kingdom first, that's what I want to do. You know what happened then? I didn't really pray the right prayer. I just told God I needed him, and I wanted to seek him. And I believed in Jesus. I didn't know much, but I knew enough to put my trust in him. My heart was way ahead of my head. And I gave me to him that night. It's kind of interesting. I don't have it up there, but Matthew 7, I sat on the bed and I thought, well, I told him I want to seek him. How do I know he'll let me find him? So I thought I'd better keep reading. And I read Matthew 7:7. Where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. I went, ah! I got back down on my knees. I said, Lord, this verse right here says that if I seek you, I'll find you. So I'm seeking you and I believe I'll find you. Thank you. Amen. And it happened. It happened. Well, I thought, I'm a believer in Jesus now. My life should be different. So I went out and I got this big cross and I started wearing it. I didn't know how to be different. I just thought, I'm going to wear a cross because that means I'm a Christian and people will know. And actually, it just embarrassed my family and I don't know. I wore it. It was a bead cross, so it was kind of cool. But yeah. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Well, I show up at high school and people see my cross. And what happened was the people who were really believers and had been walking with him for a while, I figured, hey, I think something happened to him. And I wrote out Matthew 6:33 on a piece of paper, and I was trying to learn it, and I'd carry it, and I'd say, hey, I know a verse, and I'd show it to people. And I wear a cross. And you know what they did? They saw, well, here's this guy. He's a senior, and he's big, and he knows how to talk. And he wears a cross, and he carries around a verse. He should be our leader. And I thought, I commend you on your good thinking there. Yeah. It was a big mistake, because I knew nothing. But you know what I did? I started learning how to be a hypocrite. Because I thought, well, I'm one of the leaders, and the leader should know the answer, so I can't have any questions. So I kind of learned the Christian nod. Praise the Lord. I didn't know anything. I'd look around. If they're raising hands, I'm kind of raising hand. If they're not, I'm not. I didn't know. And then, if I kind of wanted to sin a little, I could always stick the cross under my shirt and have my little sin break. And then I didn't know what to do. I just felt bad about me. I graduated from high school. Actually saw a couple friends come to Christ in the midst of all this that I had no idea what's going on. I backpacked around Europe on the back of a train in Germany. I said to the Lord, Lord, I need help. I need help. When I go back to the United States, and I hadn't been there for almost 5 years, so Lord, when I go back to the States, would you please put me in touch with someone who can teach me how to be a real Christian? So I went to Illinois State and started keeping my eyes open for people who seemed like they knew what they were doing. I went to this, well, I did lots of things, but one day, the guys on my floor were all trying to get me to go out drinking with them, and I was about ready to do it. I'd been there for a week and a half or so. And I was brushing my teeth at the sink, and I said, God, why did you forsake me? You know that tonight I'm going to go out with the guys on my floor. The drinking age was 18 then, by the way. Vietnam War, all that. Said, it's going to be over. Everything's going to be different then. I think I won't be able to seek you anymore. I asked you to bring me someone to help me, and you haven't. And right then, the bathroom door opened, and in walked Dick. Dick Cook. Tall, skinny guy, and he's wearing this little tiny cross. I have that big cross. And his cross says on it, Jesus is my Lord. And I think, oh, you're wearing a cross. And he says, yeah. Well, that was enough. I thought, okay, I think he's real. That was it. That's all we did. But I found him the next morning, and we started talking, and I found out that he had just given his life to Christ a few months earlier. And he introduced me to Larry and to Carrie and Barry. I know it's true. And all these other guys, and it turns out they were involved with the Navigators. And it was wonderful to see these men and these women really walking with Jesus. Their lives were making a difference. They were praying for the world, serving, making choices on how to follow Jesus because of what the Bible said. I remember Barry once said, Mike, would you like to go with me and share the gospel with someone? I said, sure, no. And he took me, and it was just amazing. And we went up, and he's sharing the gospel with this guy, and he kind of told him that if he didn't, the bridge illustration. Who was talking about the bridge? I was. Yeah, it was the bridge. And I'm thinking, that is amazing. I didn't know any of the rules. Okay. So I thought, I better tell him you shouldn't tell people that they're going to like go to hell. And that's not very nice. So he said to this guy, would you like to give your life to Christ right now? And he said, yes. I said, you would? That's amazing. So we prayed right then. And then I invited him to the meeting afterwards that everyone's going to go talk about who they shared with, which I thought that's a rule. You're not supposed to do that. And I took the bridge away, the piece of paper away from the guy, and kept it. Barry said, you're supposed to leave it with him. I said, no, no one told me. I like this. So, and that's how I was. And it was pretty wonderful. Yeah. God really worked in my life. It was so wonderful to be around men and women who were seeking him. And, you know, I know it, probably most of you here came with friends. It's a good thing. It's a gift. I pray and hope that you benefit from being with each other the way I benefited from being with these guys my first year of school and beyond. You know, what happened as time went on, I started putting flesh on this heart and giving bones, really, to this heart decision that I made. And what I did was I realized the core belief of the Christian faith. And here it is. I just wanted to say it so that you know it. You know, at the very heart of the Christian worldview is this belief that there is a God, that He is, and that He's the Creator God, and He rules over all, and He existed always. In fact, that He does exist apart from space, time, and history. There's no limit to Him. And this God, this Creator God, at one point made the earth. And on the earth He put people. He put Adam and Eve and the descendants of Adam and Eve. And it's amazing. You know, the scripture says that God would walk in the garden with Adam and Eve and He would talk with them. It's amazing. And He gave them a job to rule over the earth, to steward the earth, to take care of it. And He told them to be fruitful. You know, to be fruitful doing what? To make more like them. And scripture says that they were made in His image. He says, make more in my image. People that I can walk with and talk with. And then a terrible thing happened. Sin came. Rebellion came. And actually, an evil one came. He existed before the earth was created, as far as we can tell, and had led a rebellion. Thousands and thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of angels went with Him when He said, I will be God. God said, you are not, and cast Him away. Well, I think what happened was this evil one who was cast away saw that God made this earth and saw that He put on it people in His image, people He loved and walked with and talked with. And this evil one went to hurt them, to take them away. And he deceived. He was a liar. And he deceived. And so did God say? When God did not say. And Adam and Eve made a choice to follow the evil one instead of the Father. And it was never the same. They knew it was different. And God came looking for them. He knew where they were. But He's walking, saying, where are you? And they were hiding. Because they were guilty. And He said, you've gone against me, haven't you? He said, yes, we did. He said, I can't walk with you anymore. It's different now. We can't be intimate anymore. You've gone against me. And He put them away. He sent them away. They died that day. Now physically they lived, but spiritually they died. Their purpose in life changed. Because they walked away from Him. He sent them away. And ever since then, all the sons of Adam and all the daughters of Eve, including every one of you, have been separated from your Creator. But that's not what God wants. And He knew that none of you could fix it. And He knew that none of your ancestors could fix it and none of your descendants could fix it. So you know what He did? He fixed it. Now get this. He reduced Himself to a cell. This God, this Creator God, took all of His being, all of His essence, and put it all in one little cell. And He took that cell and placed it in the womb of a young woman. And there it was, the God-man. Sounds kind of crazy, but that is the story. That's how He became fully God and fully man. He grew in that womb. He was born. Do you know what Scripture says? He lived a perfect life. And that was His plan. Why did He live that perfect life? Because the penalty for sin was death. was separation. He said, let me experience the separation instead of you. And I'll let my separation count for every one of you. So many of you know this. I hope it's okay. I'm reviewing it for you. He goes to this cross. And on this cross, he experiences separation from God, from the Father. The first time ever. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what happened. Why was he separated from his Father? He was separated so you could be with him. That's why it happened. That's why he did it. Now this verse right here, Christ died for our sins. He was spiritually dead, spiritually separated, and physically dead. And this is the story. He was buried, and he was raised 3 days later. That's what Jesus did. He conquered death. He conquered the penalty for you and for me and for all people. But not everyone gets to experience that. Now, really, how do you? And again, you probably know this. How do you? Whoa, wrong place. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to join his family. If you receive him, it could be, it's just like what I did. I mean, I did not pray any prayer that someone told me to pray. I just talked to my Creator. With as much as I knew, I put my trust in Jesus. I understand more now. Now, I'm telling you this because this is what happened to me. That night, I received him. I believed in him. And I became his child. That's my story. But I want you to know that it doesn't stop there. I'm so glad that this verse is true. Jesus is praying here and he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Life. There's two words for life in the Bible, in the New Testament. Oida, O-I-D-A, and gnosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Oida and gnosko. Oida, to know about. Gnosko, to have a relationship with. So let's put that phrase in here. This is eternal life, that they may know about you, have information about you, the only true God. Does that seem right? Think about that. Now think about this. This is eternal life, that they may have a relationship with you, the only true God. Guess which one is it? The second one, gnosko. That's right. Life, gnosko, to know, as in to have a relationship with. This is eternal life, to have a relationship with God. That's what he's done. Do you know, a relationship is not just, oh, I met you, see you when I die. How nice to know you. See you in 50 years. That's not a relationship. You were made to have a relationship. Do you know what? It's a lot like a light bulb. I should have done it. I should have stopped at Walmart and bought 260 light bulbs. And I could have given every one of you one. And you would have had so much fun. I said, now just make this light bulb count. Some of you, the engineers, I think there may be a lot of you. And you could have diagrammed it, you know, explained, you know, written a paper about it, drawn, you know, formulas explaining things, figured out ways to make it better, brighter, less bright. Used it as a power source instead of a, you know, I don't know. But you would have tried all these different things. How many engineers are here, by the way? Okay, so there you go. They're happy to be engineers. That's wonderful. Now, okay, any artists here? Oh, a few artists. You know what artists do? Here they say, I'm going to crush it. And then I'm going to sprinkle the glass on a piece of paper. And glue it on, and then it's going to reflect light. And it's going to be called crinkled glass. Broken bulb. English majors? Yes. Very nice. English majors. Take the bulb. I'm going to wear the bulb. Write a poem for the bulb and wear it around my neck. And I'll wear my cross and you can wear your bulb. And we'll be just fine. Architects, I don't know, horticulture people, how about horticulture? Agriculture, any ag people? There you go. Plant it. Stick it in a pot, you never know. Water, fertilizer, it might happen. Do you know, here's the thing. You can do a lot of things with a light bulb. But a light bulb was created for one purpose. To be plugged into a power source and give light. Friends, you can do a lot of things with a life. A lot of things with a life. But a life was made for one purpose. To know God. You were made for one purpose. To know Him. I was made to know Him. And I want you to know, my favorite thing in life is knowing Him. My favorite, favorite thing. I went to a summer training program one summer. And I love summer training programs, by the way. If you ever have a chance to do one, I really encourage you to do one. And at this summer program, we were encouraged encouraged to make applications. To be doers, not just hearers of the word. So we were working on how was I going to do this? What I was learning. And I decided that I was going to memorize this verse right here. It was from a Bible study, Lamentations 3, and at the time it was 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Well, I thought that's a pretty good verse. And you know, I was having a little bit of trouble waking up in the morning, and then my mind would suddenly go to the wrong place. And I'd be thinking about things that a follower of Jesus shouldn't think about. And it was a challenge for me. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do this week for Bible study. I'm going to take that verse I memorized, I'm going to start quoting it when I wake up. That's the first thing I'm going to do every morning. And that's going to help me think about the right things. And this verse has the word morning in it, so it's probably spiritual to quote that verse in the morning. And so what I did, I took my alarm clock, and I got this little orange tag, just like these, one of these dots that we have on our name tags. And I put it on the clock. Actually, mine was blue. So that when I woke up and went to turn off the alarm, I'd see the blue dot. And the blue dot meant, quote the verse. So I'd turn it off and I'd go, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. For His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And then I'd kind of talk to God about it. Well, you know what happened? I was just going to do that for a week. And I did. I did it for a week. But then the dot, like I forgot to take it off. So I did it for another week. And another week. And another week. And another one. And for a month. And for a year. And for a decade. And for three decades. And I can tell you now, that this morning will be just like tomorrow morning. When I wake up, oh, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, Mike. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And then in January, I added this next great verse. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Every morning, Jesus tells me He loves me. He reminds me that today He loves me. Not because of anything I did yesterday, and not because of anything I didn't do. He just plain old loves me. And He is faithful. And today, it's more about His faithfulness than my faithfulness. And He's my portion. In life, He's what I get. Isn't that cool? I'm actually, you can tell that I'm not old, but it's different for me now because I wake up and I quote the verse. And then I go to the bathroom and think, oh, geez, did I quote the verse? So I better quote it again. So I quote it again. And then I'm brushing my teeth. I think, oh, I think I maybe I forgot. The Lord's loving kindness is indeed ever since this. And then I'm, you know, the Lord's loving kindness is indeed never ceased. One day I'm going to be in the like the old folks home. Okay, you just bring all your friends to me. Okay, I'm going to be rocking. The Lord's loving kindness is indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. I better say that. I'm just going to be quoting it. Literally, it's five times a morning now. I'm saying it. You know what? It's a good thing. I share this story with you. He helps me walk with him. He wants to help you walk with him. And that really takes us here. We've been talking about my story. What about your story? I don't know. Have you started yet in your journey with Christ? Where are you? Maybe you've started, but maybe you've stalled out. Maybe you came here and you thought, I thought that we were going to be boating. And here you are, and there's this guy talking about Jesus and the Bible. Or maybe you came, and you've been kind of doing what I did, the little hypocrite thing. Have you stalled out a little? Or maybe you're soaring. Maybe it has never been so good. I don't know. But I know you're somewhere. And you know what I'd like to ask you to do? Just in a couple minutes, I'd like for you to get with one or two friends and just share with each other where, and you just have 5 minutes to do this, so you have to do it quickly, where you each are in your own story. And share a prayer request for your own relationship with him and one request for this weekend. And then pray together. And actually, why don't you just do it with one other person so it doesn't take so long? And you've got 5 minutes to do this, and then we're going to be done. So ready, set, go.